Dick. Bonjour, welcome to Adventures in Pod Taste, AIPT Comics podcast, coming to you from stunning your home from our homes, because we record this thing via Skype. My name is Jason, and I will be your host tonight, working with some of the greatest folks in AIPT Comics' backlog of contributors, including my always awesome co-host, Dave Hildebrand. Say hi, Dave.
What's up, everybody? Damn, still losing my voice.
Yeah, I was gonna see. I thought
you were sick. What's up, everyone? I've been talking fine until we start recording. That's how this shit fucking works, right?
Yeah,
and
you
I
know,
must compliment you tonight. Tonight I am your awesome co-host, where usually I'm your lovely co-host, like everybody I imagine thinks I'm sitting here in a dress and lipstick.
Well, yeah, you know, the HR department from AIPT said that I had to stop objectifying you so much. So they said it was dick talk or it was stop calling you lovely. And I figured the dick talk brings all the boys to the yard. yeah.
Can't lose them both. Can't lose them both.
Anyways, joining us tonight, making his triumphant return to the site, is AIPT contributor, Austin native, and all-around swell guy, Nate Muir. Say hi, Nate.
Hey, yo, what's up, dicks?
Oh, there it goes. Bringing the dick talk back and forth.
El Paso. I'm from El Paso. It's much cooler than Austin. Well, maybe not, but no, I'm not from Austin.
I was going to say, it depends on what your definition of cool is. If your definition of cool is going to a four-day festival where millions of people come into your town to try and convince you to buy their crappy tech product, then yeah, Austin's got you covered. Also, if you like bats, like, there's not a town I can think of more closely associated with bats.
But Gotham? We just had Incubus here. They came by on a free. They played a free show at the local casino. So what can beat that?
That's true. And there's nothing that I think is cooler than a free Incubus show at a casino in El Paso, Texas. I have a very low threshold, so you know. But anyway,
bad times for Incubus.
Yeah, and while we're trashing Incubus, it's sort of a fitting theme for tonight's episode, because tonight's episode's all about trashing fools, and I guess not such fools, and just things we don't like. That's right, it's the What Grinds My Gears episode of the AIPT Comics podcast, where we talk about the things in nerd culture that, God, just fucking rub us the wrong way. Like, they just don't work. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a type of thing that happens in your favorite brand of nerdery, but there's always just something. We can't have nice things. For Dave, I know he hates how his computer constantly doesn't operate the way he wants it to, meaning that the first 40 minutes of every time we try to record, being us flimsily trying to get his sound to work properly. But I don't know if that technically will make it to the show. It's just something that I know grinds his gears a whole lot.
Well, when you have a $1,000 new laptop and it's giving you fucking issues already, yeah, I got problems with it.
Got a lot of problems with you people.
A lot of problems.
But yeah, so we're going to talk about the things that just don't work for us. So to start things off, I figure we're an AIPT Comics affiliate. Why don't we talk about things in comics that bother us? And personally, this is just a small thing from me. I don't know if everybody else kind of feels this way, but one thing that always just pisses me off, I write about it all the time. I actually ended up provoking an angry response from Jim Zeb, the writer of Uncanny Avengers, because I commented on this. But needless romances. I'm all for a relationship that makes sense. I'm all for giving characters a romantic outlet, I guess, when it fits. And I also understand that these are, you know, sexy people in spandex who are in life and death situations all the time. The odds are pretty good they're going to bone from time to time. That being said, your couples need to make sense. Your coupling needs to make sense. And it bothers the shit out of me when I feel like characters are like made to be attracted to each other or start something together purely for shits and giggles, purely because it's something to do. The example that I wanted to go with was Rogue and fucking, well, basically everybody. Every book that Rogue is in, they have to give her a romantic interest because it's sort of the joke because she can't touch people, even though that power kind of came under control for a couple of years, and I think now it's at the point where she can't control it again. But she's had relationships with fucking everybody. She's had relationships with Deadpool, with fucking Human Torch, with Magneto and Gambit, obviously, with the fucking Sentry. That was the one that was probably pissed me off the most. It just feels like they can't think of original things or interesting things to do with the character, so they said, you know what we should do? Let's fucking hook her up with some other schmo, and we'll get some stories out of it. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Slut.
But she's not. She's like a strong and like, you know, powerful and smart person. Not to say that you have to be like celibate for that to be true. But it feels
she's
against
a strong ex-slut.
Yes, there you go. But it feels like she, as a character, has grown to the point where she has spent so many years afraid to touch somebody, and then when she finally was able to have like a lasting relationship with it, be it Gambit or Magneto as her two longest serving love interests, like it felt like it meant something. And now it's like, eh, she's gonna bone the fucking Human Torch just because he's around. Like, I don't know. It bothers me.
Well, one of the things that a few of the things that I touch on will probably cover a broad spectrum, but since it was kind of portrayed on The Simpsons, elitism in comics, I think, is a really big thing. The Simpsons shows that it's going into a comic store, and the comic store owner is very sarcastic. He's an asshole, and he'll talk down to even his most loyal customers. But even outside of the comic book store world, which isn't a very inviting one, you'll still see it. When I saw Black Panther a couple months back or last month, there was a group in front of us. And one of the guys said, he just mentioned offhand that, yeah, Black Panther and Storm were married. And one of the guys with them said, oh, I didn't know that. And the other two gave him the dirtiest look, like, why are you even here? You don't know that Storm and Black Panther were married? It kind of showed just, and they were teenagers, I don't know, but it showed that even... And because they're Marvel comics, but the cinematic universe is totally different from the comics. But
and there's not like required reading to see a damn movie. Like, you know, I feel like I've seen elitism take place in a lot of ways. One thing that has always bothered me with elitism is where your fandom is the only true fandom. I mean, you see it a lot in like punk rock as well. But like, as you're describing, like someone will be like, oh, you like the X-Men? Well, tell me, why don't you tell me who your favorite of the second coming X-Men are? I'm like, well, I don't know. I guess I like Cyclops. Psh, you fucking poser. You're just going to take the fucking easiest character you can get in there. I liked Annalie because I like the fucking lizard dude. Like, you know, good for you, buddy. You've got obscure taste. That doesn't make anyone else's decisions or choices or preferences wrong.
Well, that's the way a lot of people will start, you know, getting worse with, especially with now that the movies are out. It's like if you enjoy the movies more than the books, then there's something wrong with you. And it's not, they don't feel like that you can hold a conversation about, you know, any of the comics or any of the characters unless you've gone back and read all 60 years of their books or whatnot. And going back with you said, Jason, about the relationships, the first one that popped into my head, like being unnecessary, is Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
That was a big one that was just inserted, I thought, for no reason, and it did nothing to progress any of the characters, and all it did was end up pissing me off. And then I think, a couple shows ago, y'all mentioned she's getting married to Colossus or some shit, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's the big event for the summer.
But yeah, no, I agree with what Nate said with the movies and everything, because I hear people in line too. And that's the thing. Instead of arguing with people that they don't know maybe as much as you do about, you know, Black Panther, Guardians, X-Men, which everyone knows I don't know a whole lot about them still, you know, have a conversation and, you know, find a common bond and then like grow off of it instead of like slamming each other because they don't read or watch X things or know as much as you. I mean, that's how come you just clash, you know? Everyone just needs to like help each other out, and you end up getting along a whole lot better and learning from one another with a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and why would you be mad like if someone is starting to embrace the fandom? Like, you gotta start somewhere.
Right, and all you're doing is pushing them away from it.
Yeah, the lowest barrier of entry is probably, like, the movies. Like, definitely. If I wouldn't say that it's... In this way, it kind of differs from music, because with music, especially, like, in the punk rock scene, or I guess in the independent music scene, you like it when your favorite act is sort of small, like when they're just your favorite act. It's like specific to you, and maybe they've got like a little bit of a following, but it, you know, if you get the chance to introduce them to people versus like fucking, I don't know, Green Day, and they're everywhere and everybody fucking knows them. But with like with comic fandom especially, you want these things to get big. You want them to have the fucking Marvel budget to make a movie about it. Like, you might love Moon Knight, but unless Moon Knight starts fucking having, you know, droves of teenage fans wearing the fucking t-shirts and doing hashtag Moon Knight movie, like, you're not going to get a fucking Moon Knight movie.
You know what? I'm glad that you mentioned music, Jason, because I think all of us are old enough that we remember when it wasn't cool to be into nerd things.
Yeah.
And there was a part of my life, I want to say middle school, maybe as I was entering high school, that a cool barometer was for someone to say that they'd pick a band, and it usually would be a punk band, and they'd say, oh yeah, I liked them before they were popular. The first one that always comes to mind to me is actually who you mentioned, Green Day, because they had Kerplunk or whatever before Dookie came out.
And there was like 31 Slappy Hour or something like that. Yeah. Was their main label released or whatever.
Yeah. And it was like a badge of honor to say that, yeah, I liked Bleach. I like when Nirvana released Bleach, and I liked, you know, I liked Green Day, and I liked Rancid before they had these videos and all this stuff. And I agree with you about it. It is cool to watch your favorite bands get better and popularity, not get better, but their popularity increase. But it was always really corny to me that people would use that as how cool the band was based on how many people knew. Like, if I heard of them before you, no matter how much you like them, I was cooler than you. And I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of that now. It's just used in different terms. When you can't really discover anything before anyone else anymore because of the internet, mm-hmm. but you can certainly lord over them that you've been listening to them or reading them or watching it longer.
Well, see, that kind of brings up something else that I was going to touch on, or at least part of something I was going to touch on with, like limiting other people's fandom because it doesn't match up to your standards. And the one thing that like was probably the most visual of it was, or visible, I guess would be the right term there, is the fake geek girl controversy from a few years ago, or maybe that was just last year. But pretending that because a girl is into a character because she likes to dress up in the cosplay, and that somehow makes her less of a person or like unworthy of your respect or worthy of being mocked. Like, because a model is paid to dress like the fucking Silver Age Scarlet Witch, or chooses to wear a tube top so that she can be fucking X-23 in her first appearance, like that's her, the way that her fandom's being out there. Maybe it's not fandom, maybe she's being paid to be there. Who gives a shit? What's your problem with her, with this person doing their thing? If they're somehow like, are they bothering you by just existing within your same sphere? Give them a fucking break. And if they are, like, if they are just new to it and just getting introduced to it, let them fucking get introduced to it. Let them learn about this shit. Maybe they will become, quote, a real geek girl or whatever. As if, even if a girl did have all of, like, the street cred, that she would instantly get the same level of recognition that some, like, you know, fat kid in a Babylon 5 t-shirt is going to get. I take that quote also from The Simpsons, I believe.
the nerdy chick thing, I was going to ask you guys when you thought I guess we turned the corner in regards to nerds being cool. And at first I thought it was Weezer and Rivers Cuomo But then I thought, well, the handsome nerd trope has been around forever. And I think the first time I ever thought that, wow, maybe people do see nerds as cool things is I remember, I think I was at a bar or somewhere, but I saw a girl wearing a t-shirt that said, I dig nerdy guys or something like that. And it just had a picture of glasses on it. And at that point, I was just bewildered. I didn't know what world I was in, but I also thought it was really stupid. But that's when I started seeing more people wearing glasses. Like all of a sudden, people didn't like to wear contacts anymore. They had to wear their glasses, and they started wearing the weathered shirts or the retro shirts and things like that. Which t-shirts, I guess, are kind of a symbol of how much of a nerd you are. Because hey, I'm wearing this Joy Division shirt, going back to the band thing. So I'm a really cool guy, or I'm wearing this Family Ties shirt. So
yeah. I mean, you can also, like, a lot of that now is just bland corporate culture. It's been so homogenized. Like, you can get, like, the shirt you're describing is probably something that she bought at a fucking, like, Forever 21. But at the same time, like, you know, hey, if it's increasing the visibility of the culture that I naturally found myself, like, leaning toward anyway, I guess I'm for it. Plus, if it means that girls are going to be more attracted to schlubby guys with beards and thick glasses, I'm also cool with that because I fit most of that. And who knows? Well, I would say maybe my girlfriend and I wouldn't be together if that were the case, but no, she reads sci-fi novels like every day, so maybe she out-nerds me a little bit at times.
What Nate didn't mention is that he walked up to her anyway.
Well, duh.
Spitting game. Hey, girl.
So we're talking about on that
night. Who's your favorite Gen 1 Transformer? Tell me it's Shockwave.
So we're talking about like being nerdy and everything. Did you all consider yourself nerds? I mean, was there a time where you're like, hey, I can like this stuff out in the open? Or because I was never like that. I've always been in the mindset that I like what I like. If you don't like it, I'll give a fuck.
I've always personally subscribed to my own kind of etymology of the word nerd and geek. I self-identify as a geek, which I'm sure all of our anti-SJW people instantly got triggered as soon as I said self-identify. But the way that I look at it is that I separate nerds and geeks in that they both have some kind of passion, a non-physical passion that they're super into, and it's something that they can explain a great deal. With geeks, I often view it as, and this could be, this is my definition only, I know other people won't necessarily agree with it, but geeks, I feel like, are people who can have these conversations and really get into it, but can talk about other things as well. Like, they can have a conversation about, yeah, wrestling, and tell you all about, you know, like, Frank Gotch, but they can also then switch and talk about, you know, movies, and then like discuss Truffaut or you know, politics, and have an opinion on the fucking Exxon Valdez or whatever. I was going to say the Exxon pipeline, but Exxon Valdez, a fucking boat crash from the 80s, is for some reason in my head. But nerds, on the other hand, I always kind of viewed as people whose nerdy passion kind of dominates their life. All that I can talk about is Battlestar Galactica. All that I can talk about is, like, I don't know, sports stats. That's always been my distinction. And I've met a lot more geeks than I've met nerds, but I gotta be honest, I do kind of get a little annoyed with nerds that I literally can't hold a conversation with you if we're not talking about fucking, I don't know, Spore or Minecraft or something.
That's an interesting way to look at it. I never thought of it, like, splitting it like that. What about you, Nate?
I guess I've always been I've been a little bit lucky. Like when I was growing up, when I was growing up, a nerd was someone who liked to read and was good in school, and that was pretty much the extent of it. Yeah, if you like Star Wars, or if you read comics, or if you liked wrestling, like you were a nerd also, or a dork. But wrestling was really big in the 80s, so it wasn't that shameful, I guess, to admit to liking it. By the time I wasn't cool with admitting that I liked wrestling, I was a little bit older, and I really didn't care what people thought about me. And then when it became cool to be a nerd, at that point, when people call me a nerd, it was just like, yeah, sure, I guess. I work for the state, so people call me, you know, whatever, the stupid stuff, corporate sellout, or you're part of the man, or whatever. It's like, sure, whatever. Like, I don't. Sounds really corny, but
you work for the state of Texas too. Let's be all the way there.
The greatest state in the nation.
I'm from Florida. What can I say?
Well, see, I'm from Pennsylvania, so it's a pretty tough argument there. Mm. At worst, the second greatest state in the nation. But the whole geeks and nerds thing, I use geeks kind of jokingly, and it's from years of hearing like penciled neck geeks and hearing bad guys call the wrestlers geek or the fans geeks and stuff. But I've always thought of geeks as people who basically fall on their face in spectacular ways. And they just, they just embarrass themselves trying to do the most common things. Like one of the most recent examples I can think of is Bailey. Well, I'll just say a wrestler in a federation challenged another girl to a kendo stick match because it was her specialty match. I believe it was in her hometown. And the girl who did the challenge got her ass destroyed.
Was that in San Diego? Jeez.
Yeah, geek. Total geek. Geek of the year.
Well, and that doesn't even properly like describe it because she's the one who challenged Alexa Bliss, the other woman in this contest, to this match to prove that she could be hardcore and hang. And then as soon as she grabs the fucking stick, she fucking freezes and then gets the shit kicked out of her by the other girl with a stick. The other girl, who might I add, is like a foot shorter than her.
Is tiny. And harmless looking.
I mean, don't get it twisted. I feel like Alexa Bliss could probably beat the shit out of me, but like, you know, I'm also not a professional athlete.
Well, neither is Bailey after all that, the way I look at it.
Yeah.
But I mean, the whole, maybe I am a nerd because my whole life is, I base all my examples in life on wrestling and how my philosophies in life are based on 80s wrestling. So maybe I'm the biggest geek of all.
You are now. You're telling me that you're a real American and that you fight for the rights of every man. Is what I'm hearing. Saying your prayers, taking your vitamins,
taking my vitamins, saying my prayers,
drinking hoping to.
I don't like milk all that much, but I do drink a lot of water.
Was that part of the Hulk and Creed? Jeez, I have not watched any of those in quite a while.
Oh, but Hulk's Creed is a little too. I don't know if my body can take what Hulk's Creed did, and I would like to keep my testicles intact and live a long, healthy life and not have an enlarged heart. So
I'd also like to not be married to someone who looks suspiciously like my daughter. I would like to not have my son murder somebody in a car crash. I'd like to not have a sex tape that reveals that I'm a racist. There's a lot of things about Hulk Hogan that I'm not looking to do. However, I would like to be as rich as Hulk Hogan is after that whole Gawker thing, but I think that he probably had to give a lot of that money to the people who financed his whole thing. So I don't know how much the Hulkster actually pocketed in that little spiel. Anyway, getting off topic of things that like rub us the wrong way. So I kind of touched on it. And I guess my biggest pet peeve, and not just nerd stuff, but it's been cropping up a lot more in nerd stuff, and I don't get why, is just this whole anti-social justice warrior fucking anti-diversity movement. I can't fucking stand that shit. Like, you are claiming that someone is a social justice warrior while reading a fucking Captain America comic book? He's a literal social justice warrior. He fucking, like, he is the epitome of it. And you're going to, like, be like, what the fuck? Why are they bad-mouthing Nazis in this book? He's been fighting Nazis since the fucking 40s. Like, what's the goddamn problem? A lot of this comes out of the issues that I had with the fandom response to, what's it called? Secret Empire.
Secret Wars.
Sorry to crib from the president, but there were problems on both sides of that fucking argument. Because, the people who were saying you're giving a bad name to like a large section of the population. What, fascists? Shouldn't we be giving fascists shit? Why are we like accepting that they're okay? But then on the other end of it, you had the people who were so shaken up by this fictitious character being changed again, like magically. Like a literal Deus Ex Machina character turning a good guy evil in a comic book where this sort of shit happens all the fucking time, you're so mad that you can't let the fucking story like run its course to see how it turns out, to see what you learn from it, to see if the story does improve from it. If they ended it and just said, yeah, Nazi Cap is best Cap, Nazi Cap is always, you're a dumb idiot if you ever thought that like he was on the side of America. Sure, I get being mad. It was like two issues into the fucking series and people were like, you know, fucking destroy Marvel, get rid of everything, blah, blah, blah. Like, fuck you. Let them tell a story.
You know what? It's funny because before we actually started recording, we were talking about whether our lists match or not. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I have on my list is close-minded. I think the nerds, and it's not exclusively nerds, and I'm generalizing, but I completely agree with you. They are a very close-minded group of people. The Captain America example is a great example of it. Movies, I think, and with some books, but I always people, and I'm guilty of it with things sometimes too, but I always tell people, like, just let it breathe. Let's see where it goes. And you're right. At the end, it may well suck. But you have to let it run its course. But people are just – they're just chomping at the bit. They can't wait to explain to you why this particular thing is wrong and why you're wrong for not even liking it, just for saying, yeah, I want to see what happens.
Or buying it and supporting it and, you know, creating more of it. But that's the thing with Secret Empire also is you have a lot of people, and you still see this daily, where they get mad. They're like, you know, there's no more unique stories. You're doing the same old shit. I want something new. I want something different. Then they're like, hey, this is, you know, Cap is might be a Nazi. You know, he's on this other side in Secret Empire. And then people are all pissed. Well, now you're straying away from the original source. And now you're changing it too much. And they just bitch. You know, you can't make everybody happy. And when they make an attempt to do so, then they just get ripped apart by it. And then you're leaving the companies with shrugging like, well, you know, we know what the fuck to do from here for.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and I'm going to use myself as an example, and it's going to come off as really bad, but I'm going to explain myself, I hope. But a lot of times in movies, we see that someone's color, their skin color, or their race, it'll be changed. We saw it with Mary Jane, and people were in such an uproar over it. And I'll be honest, years ago, I really thought when I heard of that they might cast, or they talked of casting Batman as a black man, I honestly thought it was a bad idea, because I thought that one of the core principles of Bruce Wayne was he was a WASP. I thought you needed that background to him. I thought it was incredibly important to the character. And I mean, I would have given it a chance, and now I think that's a stupid argument. But at the time, I thought it made sense to me. Like, yeah, he's white Anglo-Saxon. He has to be. This is how he would. This is the upbringing, and it's an important part of the character. But if it does ever happen, if and when it does happen, we will hear a huge outrage over it. I mean, if a character is minor, I think is minor, is Mary Jane will cause such an uproar, then when we see a major character change, and it will happen, it'll be a we'll see just how close-minded the fandom can be.
Yeah, they didn't even name that she was Mary Jane until the very end of that fucking movie, too. Like, what's your problem with this? But yeah, I mean, similar argument, though, separate level of nerdiness, is the argument about James Bond. Idris Elba has been one of the names that has been, like, lobbied around as the next James Bond, and I think he's a fucking perfect casting choice. Like, when it comes to the original James Bond, yeah, like, I didn't really watch a lot of those. I've seen a few, you know, in the past, like, maybe 10 years or so. I obviously wasn't alive for a lot of it. I haven't read the novels, so maybe there's something in there that precludes this sort of thing. But especially with the new chronology that we're working off of since Casino Royale, he's a rough-and-tumble British guy who looks good in a suit and is smooth as fuck and is, like, big and muscly. What about that can Idris Elba not pull off better than like 95% of the schmoes that are being bandied around for this sort of shit? Like, he is like a perfect casting choice, and I feel like the only thing that prevented him from getting it was that he's black, and that's fucking bullshit. Like, get over your head trip, nerds. I guess the most egregious one, though, since we're talking about this, was the reaction to in the Hunger Games movie to the character Rue, who in the books, because I read the books, she's described as dark-skinned. Everybody, it's a little uncomfortable, as a matter of fact, because everybody from her sector is described as being olive-skinned or darker-skinned, implying that whenever they put in their fascist regime, they also racially segregated all of the sectors. But the book basically goes all but saying directly that she's black. Like, when I was reading the book, I had no doubt in my mind that Rue and Thresh, the other character from, I think that they were Sector 11? I don't really recall. It's been a long time since I read the books, and I hated the movies. But all of these people got mad that they cast a young black girl to play this role of a young black girl. Like, what the fuck, nerds? Get over your shit. Like, even if the character was described as pale, who gives a shit? Like, I'd rather her be a good actor. Like, I don't know.
It seems to me, if anything, they would be happy that whether it's a black character that's cast as a white character or vice versa, it seems like they would be happy so they can tell people, hey, in the book, it's actually different.
Yeah, because I feel like that's something although that might feed into the stereotype we were talking about earlier of the comic book guy that we love to be the will actually in a craft. Like, you know, oh, well, I think that T'Challa and that chick are gonna be together. Well, actually, T'Challa actually married Storm a few years ago. And then there's the asshole next to him. Well, actually, their marriage was annulled because of her role in the mutant attack on Wakanda. And it's a vicious cycle. I don't know. Dave, how about you? What's something that grinds your gears in the nerd world?
Well, I'll talk about something that was brought to my attention this morning, and it was something that Rob Levin tweeted on Twitter.
That's a good place to tweet.
Yeah, of course. I guess someone got to him because he made the tweet saying that when comics journalists, and he put in quotation marks for journalists, and I think that's what caught my attention more than anything. He was mad because people were saying, say the artwork was done by Jason with Nate. And he thinks it should always be Jason and Nate, because his attitude towards it was with can also go the other way without. But what I found interesting was, and you guys review stuff just like I do, this whole quotation marks about journalists. I didn't like that. I know when I talk about art, I do use and, I believe. I might have used with, but it's to change it up. It's not to keep sounding monotonous through the whole thing. You know, it's to spice it up some. And when I'm reviewing a book, I'm trying to help the reader who's debating if they're going to pay their money to get the book if it's something that they like. I don't think I've ever read a review or even my own review where I was like, well, damn, why they say with instead of and? And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, just the way he came at it, because I don't consider myself a journalist. I look at it like this, I don't always review books that I like. I do review different books, and if I like them, cool. If I don't, then I give them a bad grade. But this cat here, I mean... you should be happy that we're reading your fucking book to begin with, but for you to put quotations around journalists like we put ourselves on this fucking pedestal and think we're untouchable and our opinions trump all, I just thought was a wrong approach to it.
I think that it kind of speaks to a larger issue, actually, with especially Twitter, is I guess the general accessibility of these, creators, be they artists, be they writers, be they whatever, with the increased accessibility to them, they are bombarded with all sorts of shit. Like, if you were a public figure and you're on Twitter, Instagram, whatever else, I was going to say Vevo, but I don't think anybody actually uses Vevo. You will see positive things, sure, but the ones that are going to stand out to you are the negative things. And people on the internet are fucking bastards. Let's be real. There is nothing more vile than the YouTube comment section of a piece. Right. And so, like, it's you know, the secondary to that would probably be the Twitter comment section. So if I get a review on something that says, you know, Jason's review was not very good, then, like, the one under it's gonna be like, yeah, Jason sucks dicks. And then the one under that, it's going to be, you know, yeah, Jason goes with my cum. Like, it's all, everything is just, like, increasingly negative. And at a certain point, I feel like creators, if you're going to be on social media, which I guess is technically, like, a requirement at this point because you got to promote your stuff, you got to get thicker skin, man. You can't just lash out at every troll that comes at you. Because Jesus, you will not be able to do anything else with your time.
And here's the thing, because even, I want to say the past 3 weeks, I've even tweeted out, I saw someone review a book, and I'm not saying the book, I'm not saying the website that I saw it from, but the review was so fucking terrible that I tweeted out that, hey, you know, the next time you review a book, and I didn't put quotations around review, you know, I'm not that fucking idiot like that. I was like, you know, why don't you pay attention and maybe read the book? Because it just looked like that they just, it was just the most generic shit I ever saw. They're like, oh, this is great. It's a page turner and you should get it. And they talked nothing about the story. And I don't know, because the three of us can say that the writing that we have done, you know, recently compared to when we first started is, you know, far better than in the beginning.
Oh, no, I like my early work, but, you know.
But I'm saying, we've all improved.
that was
you may have liked it.
I don't like any of my work.
Right, but that's my point. There's the guys attacking, you know, these quotation journalists. You don't know if the cat that you're mad at, he's new. It could be his first review, his second review, you know? It could be an editor problem. It could be a new editor. You don't know what it is. Approach them and ask them. I've actually had creators come to me and say, hey, you know, I saw this. What didn't you like? You know, where they actually thought I was just trying to attack the book. I'm like, I'm not. And I'll explain it. And then we've gone our own ways. Not mad. He understood where I was coming from. Understood where he was coming from. And you move on.
Yeah, I mean, to his credit, I know I mentioned earlier that Jim's Up kind of gave me shit because I complained about the shipping of Human Torch and Rogue. He approached me on Twitter, which is weird because my Twitter handle is not on my bio, so he had to look me up.
He put effort into it.
Yeah, but like when he talked to me, like I responded, and like we had a relatively like polite discourse about the subject, about what I didn't like about the book and what the things that I did. And yeah, it like he came at it, I guess, the right way after looking me up angrily, I suppose, or mildly angrily, but he handled it right, I guess I would say. But I've seen plenty of people just come at it with instant negativity, like, what have you done? You can't even judge me unless you're one of my peers, which I guess is arguably elitism again that I'm going to complain about. But I've always hated when people are like, you can't talk about anything unless you've had my exact experiences. Bullshit, I can't. I can fucking have my own opinions on anything and you can't tell me that I can't. So, you know, you can not like it and that's unfortunate, but like, I'm the audience. I'm part of the audience. I'm, you know, allowed to say my fucking opinion when it comes to anything.
Right. And the easy example for that is any major sports. I mean, the majority of the reporters, I don't want to say the majority, but many of the reporters and journalists they're not former players. I mean, of course, there are a few, but and I don't follow sports, but there are some very famous sports reporters who maybe played the sport when they were younger, but otherwise have very little they have no professional experience, but they write, they're very respected writers in their fields.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we were talking about wrestling earlier, but like, there's a reason why the announced team of every wrestling show that has more than one announcer, aka everything that's not ECW, has the typical formula being one play-by-play announcer that sounds like a guy who might be calling a local basketball game, and then one former wrestler who didn't get too much brain damage and can still, like, you know, talk around without saying every couple of seconds like me. You know, someone who actually has insight. And there's definitely value to people who have insight talking about, you know, whatever chosen art form or sport or whatever pursuit that we're talking about. But at the same time, that doesn't discount the opinions of those people who aren't in that, because that's most people. Like, I'm never going to be a wrestler, but I can feel that, you know, I don't know, that the Undertaker versus John Cena match is going to suck at WrestleMania. Like, I'm allowed to have that opinion. I'm allowed to think that the build for it has been dumb and that John Cena continually calling Undertaker a bitch for not coming out and fighting him when he's 50 plus years old and Cena is fucking John Cena. Like, you know, I wouldn't fight him, and I'm not 50 years old and don't have a plastic hip.
You know, it's funny, like, well, it's ironic that nerds, when I was growing up, were the ones who would get the wedgies and they'd be bullied and they had no friends. But now, from what I can tell, nerds are actually the major. It's like in 21 Jump Street in the movie when Channing Tatum goes back to school and he's a jock and he thinks everything's cool, but the nerds end up picking on him. That's a pretty accurate depiction of at least internet nerd culture.
I don't know that the words accurate depiction have ever really been applied to, what's it called? 21 Jump Street, the movie.
I just did it.
Yeah. But I mean, that being said, I think that, yeah, it's a power toy thing, like, you know, or power trip rather. You exercise the power that you can wherever you can. And so for a lot of nerds, that means that they are going to cyberbully somebody, or that they're going to, like, belittle someone's intelligence or something like that, because they're in a position to do that now. And yeah, that's a complete role reversal from when most of us were growing up. Well, the three of us were growing up, but, like, I'm assuming somebody grew up in an era where intelligence was prized and, you know, the schoolhouse was, I don't know, more than one room. I don't know where I'm going with that.
It was prized when I was growing up. People would always copy off my work.
Nah, I guess
Nate was the one that you looked to in the middle of the class.
I guess that is a prize, but the prize that is a passing grade. But,
you know, eventually I smartened up and I started giving people wrong answers. But then they would be really mean to me, and I just I couldn't figure out how to make friends. It was the worst thing. You know, I think it seems like the biggest, the most toxic communities, I guess, are in gaming when it comes to nerds. Recently, we saw Gamergate, but going back even further to tabletop gaming, and I'm way too young. I've never actually played Dungeons and Dragons, but my wife, she teaches literature at the community college, and what she was thinking of doing was starting a D&D club, not to play D&D, but she thought it would be a good way to push people's creativity and their imaginations, and she wanted to help people craft stories, basically. And I told her I thought it was a horrible idea, because by starting that club, she wasn't going to get people coming in wanting to write stories. She was going to get people coming in wanting to play D&D and pretty much hijacking her club and talking down to the people who, the one person who may have gone to try to write stuff, they would have been totally destroyed. And they would have been name called. They would have been ran out of the entire school.
I mean, I played D&D this week. I could totally see how it could inspire a story that you want to write, especially in a community college setting. I think that because it is a community college you're talking about, right? Not a high school.
Yeah, it's a community college.
Yeah, I think with a community college, you're in a better position for that sort of thing, because people are, you know, paying to be there versus being forced to be there. I think with high school, yeah, you're just going to find there's going to be some nerds that'll join. It'll be a sparsely attended club, and they'll probably not necessarily take it for what it's worth. But when it's an extracurricular at a collegiate level, even a community college level, I feel like people get more into it because, again, their dollar is being spent at that point.
So is she going to go with the club, or have you talked her out of it?
No, because she thinks she can rein them in. She thinks she'll be able to do it. I think it's a great idea. And this is just me being cynical. It's a great idea, and I think it will push their imaginations. I think the people that come in will totally ruin the idea. That's I don't have a high opinion, I guess, of kids nowadays.
I mean, I don't know. I think your wife is doing a good thing. I support this club. I would join if I lived in El Paso. But if I lived in El Paso, I would also probably be tan.
But yeah, I support the idea too. I think she should give it a go and see what comes of it. And then worst case, you have two clubs.
Oh, that's true. You could have a civil war.
Oh yeah, pit them against each other. But yeah, that's what about you, David? Are there any other things that are sticking in your craw that you want to just get out your chest and let the nerd nation know it?
I feel like a good example, because I was watching Aliens this morning, and it was the director's cut where it showed like Newt's family and everything.
Right, they had like the sequence in LV-426's colony.
Right, and the face huggers all wrapped around her father's face and everything. And I like that cut so much better than the original. But then it started making me think about that fucking Covfefe alien film.
I'm tired. Oh, Alien Covenant.
Yeah. I'm tired of... I don't know. It's like everybody wants to open up and explore the origins of things that I don't think needs an origin to. Like, I was more than happy thinking the aliens were just these badass outer space monsters. And then fucking Prometheus showed up, Covfefe showed up, and now the aliens are just a product of an android that had daddy issues. And that fucking gnaws at me. You know, I don't need the curtain pulled back and see the wizard to every fucking thing that I enjoy. The same way is, and if the second issue ever comes out, I might review it, is that Dynamite's John Wick book. The first issue is like an origin story of him. I don't need an origin story of John Wick. I'm happy knowing he's this badass guy that if you fuck with his dog, you're gonna get fucking leveled. I don't need to know that he was a boy in Mexico stealing shit. I don't need that. Let me keep the image and let the behind-the-scenes stuff remain a mystery, you know? It's like less mystique now and like, hey, let's just open a box and we're just going to fuck everything up, you know? And that might, yeah. You know, that's totally my personal opinion on it. But
no, I
don't
I can
need
agree with that.
To know the background to everything I've grown up with or everything that's new and exciting and popular just to spawn a new movie, a new game, a new book, just to try to generate sales. Because half the time it ends up being shit.
Well, Patton Oswalt, and I'll probably butcher this, but he does a pretty great bit where he talks about how, like, because he's talking about the Star Wars prequels, about how, like, it kind of, like, kills a lot of the mystique for it. He's like, he said, it's as if someone's like, hey, you like ice cream? Well, here's a big bag of rock salt. Get to making it. Or, you know, like, hey, you like Angelina Jolie? Does she give you a boner? Well, here's a picture of John Voight's ball sack. It's right where she came from. Like, you know. I can agree that I think that the need compulsively to look things up and to fill out the Wikipedia page of something and to overanalyze every little thing, I think that more than just annoying me a little bit, I think it kind of ruins those fans' time. Like, I know that for some of them it is what they choose to spend their time with, but like over-scrutinizing something that you love, especially like a work of fiction, I feel like it's going to remove a lot of the actual appeal from it because it's going to become like a chore almost to look into this information, and you're not going to appreciate it as much. And then you get shit like when Last Jedi came out and you get the purists that are upset that it's too different from the fucking original movies, when we all kind of complained, even though we enjoyed it, when the previous Star Wars film was too similar to the original series, you know? It was just a New Hope 2. But, I don't know. Nate, what do you think?
I I'm trying to take it all in. No, in regards to the, I agree that about drawing the curtain back. Yeah, there comes a point to where you've seen enough. It's like, don't show me how you pulled the rabbit out of the hat. I'm perfectly satisfied thinking that you somehow pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah, it's magic.
Yeah, I love it. Like it's like being a child again. And nowadays, because we know so much, part of it is age, part of it is technology, and part of it is just common sense. It kind of does ruin your imagination. It's not as great as it used to be, and it kind of does take the fun and the charm out of a lot of things. Star Wars is a great example. Like, I didn't mind The Force Awakens, and I didn't mind The Last Jedi at all. Maybe it did give a little too much backstory away, but I didn't think it crossed the line. But yeah, there is something to be said about going too far.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the problem isn't with those films so much as it is with fucking midichlorians. Like, and there's a reason that they haven't talked about midichlorians since the fucking prequels, because it was a stupid idea that tried to literally kill the magic. Like, it's not magic. The little microscopic insects in your bloodstream. Like, no, it's fucking magic. Just leave it as magic.
Being a Jedi is actually an STD.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, that's the best example of all.
It's a birth defect, I guess you would say.
Yeah, you're a mutant, basically. Yeah. It takes, when you take that kind of fun away from, because it's, I think all of us when we were kids, or maybe even not when we were kids, we tried to move things using the Force. I'm pretty sure everyone's tried that, right? But when you hear that, yeah, it's because you have to be born with a certain gene, it's like, well, you know what? I've had a few blood tests and nothing's come up. I'm not going to be able to move anything.
Well, the midichlorians are recessive genes, you understand, so it's pretty rare that they come through. It's like red hair or blue eyes, or green eyes. Yes, not blue eyes. Well, I guess blue eyes are probably a recessive gene, too. I don't know. Either way. Midichlorians are the dirt worst, and if you're a Star Wars fan and you're trying to establish Dragon Ball Z-style power levels for every one of the Jedi, first of all, stop, and second of all, just fucking watch the movies, dude. Like, you don't need to know how fucking Luke Vader would stack up against Goku. That's what shows like Death Battle on YouTube are for, and they do it a lot better than you probably would anyway. That being said, we're coming up on the end of our hour, and even though Nate has been our guest a million times, I think that it would be great to change up our profile a little bit and let Nate ask Dave and I to defend our poor taste. Dave and I's usual favorite section, wherein we ask our guests to discuss something that is near and dear to their heart, but that maybe other people just don't really get, and that they want to kind of spread the gospel of. We've done quite a number of these in the past with some interesting takes, like Patrick Helen's love of the smell of skunk, some not so interesting takes, like Chris Hassan's affection for olives. Given that I think that, Nate, you've been on four times at this point.
Yeah, this is the third time, and you fucking bastard. The reason
did you have them letters?
the reason I stumbled when I paused when you asked that question earlier, because it hit me. Oh shit! I need to defend my poor taste. I need to think of something fast. I came up with something, but I'll save it for another day.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably be back on again at some point. I don't know.
I got to think of something. I don't know.
I haven't thought of one either. I just figured that, like, usually, because when Hassan, I think, was on the third time, we had him ask us, or somebody it was. It might have been Jim. Either way, it feels like it's becoming a thing. Dave and I have only done it once, I believe. We might as well try and go another time. You know what? It was David. When David was on, we had him ask us.
But all I have is good taste, as I can't think of anything bad taste.
I know that to be false.
Dave, your name is psychotic, so you have to have a poor taste regarding something.
I don't know.
Well, maybe poor is too strong of a word. Maybe something that someone else would find. Yeah,
it's a guilty pleasure, I guess.
Now, there's a way that I'd eat a certain food that pisses off a lot of my friends.
How is that? Wait, tell me you eat, like, your Snickers with a fork.
No. What the fuck? No. I eat, like, strips of bacon. I have to have ketchup on the side. I dip my bacon in ketchup.
What?
See, that is absolutely in poor taste.
Yeah, that is tremendously poor taste.
Why?
Oh my God. Well, I don't understand how. What? First of all, the flavor profile of bacon needs no adornment. It is.
See, that's what they tell me. That's what they tell me. So this is when I ask this question. So if you get a bacon cheeseburger, do you pull the bacon off and wash the fucking ketchup off on your sink and then eat the bacon like that? Or do you just eat the fucking bacon on the burger?
I don't get ketchup on my bacon cheeseburger.
I was going to say, I don't use ketchup on my burgers.
So what do you put on a bacon cheeseburger? Just bacon and cheese?
Bacon, cheese, and lettuce. That's it.
So, like, occasionally, like, there'll be something, like, you know, if it's a specialty burger that's got, like, I don't know, avocado or something on it, then I'll keep that. But, yeah, I don't put ketchup or mustard or anything.
Well, see, and I like Western-style burgers, so I like the barbecue sauce and, like, the crispy onions and then the bacon with it. So,
okay.
Of that, too.
No, I could get down with that, but...
So, barbecue sauce is cool, but not ketchup.
Barbecue's got a little smoke, and smoke recognizes the smoky flavor of the bacon. I think it works. Ketchup is purely sweet. And I feel like, if anything, it's just going to disguise the taste of the bacon.
This week, you all get a few strips of bacon and dip it in ketchup and tell me what you think.
Nah, don't need to do it. I take your word for it.
Yeah. If you're listening to us and you try this, hit us up on Twitter and tell us how this experiment went for you. I am interested to see what the general consensus is. I am probably not going to do it, but I would...
I have another food one that people scratch their heads about if you want me to do another one.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. Shit. I like Coke Slurpees from 7-Eleven, but I can't drink them right away. I have to take it home, put it in the freezer, let it sit for about 5 hours, and then I get it out of the freezer and I eat it with a spoon. And by the time it melts a little bit on the drive home, like, all that Coke forms at the bottom. So when you get to the bottom, it's like really... Coke, syrupy, sickening, tastes sweet.
That's very well thought out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like a process. It doesn't sound that weird to me, though.
It doesn't sound that weird?
Nah, not really. It sounds involved.
Oh, it is.
I would probably
wait 5 hours to eat my Slurpee.
Yeah, I would probably just drink the damn Slurpee, but, like, I don't know. It sounds fine by me. I don't know. That one doesn't seem like a poor taste so much as an involved preference. Personally.
So, but bacon and ketchup isn't a preference.
Oh no, that's disgusting.
That's just a crime against humanity.
Yeah, that is the thing that should not be.
So Jason, defend your poor taste or guilty pleasure or wrong way to eat a delicious meal.
I'm trying to think if I have a fun food thing, but I don't know that I do.
I'm not rubbing the bacon against my nipples and then eating it. I mean, it's ketchup. It's not wrong.
Good. It's good to know, Dave. You should not do that. I don't recommend it. I don't know. I don't know. Anime. Shit. Why not? I enjoy some level of anime. Octopus porn. No, I don't get down with tentacle grape. anime is something that I think has a real black eye in this country. Like, people think that it's the nerdiest of nerd shit. It's like just above being a furry. Anime is very broad, and there's a lot to take from it. And some of it is everything embarrassing that you think that it can be. And some of it is actually, like, really compelling and well-told stories. Yeah, they're typically sci-fi or ninja or action stories. And yes, there's the tropes, like, I want senpai to notice me or all that sort of, like, high school drama kind of nonsense. But I don't know. It is silly, stupid fun most of the time. And I can really get down with some of it, including, Dragon Ball Super just ended this past weekend in a bit of a down note. Not like a negative note, it just wasn't that great of an ending. But I really liked the series. It started off rough, it picked up pretty well, and this last arc, the Universal Survival arc, has been really, like, great, and there's been moments that you know, stand with the best that show has ever done, but stand with the best most cartoons have made me feel at some point. At least ones that are not full-length movies. Then there are things like Death Note. Death Note was a great series. I really appreciated it, and I think that the attempt to make it palatable to Western audiences fell flat on its fucking face because it doesn't really understand what it works and what is good about the series. Instead, it's just trying to be like a fucking, I don't know, I keep saying WB, but that's not the channel anymore. A CW version of anime, and that doesn't work. So anime, let anime be anime and all of its weirdness and its crazy stupidness, and I'll defend the weebs out there. I like anime theme songs too. When I lived in Japan for a year, and this was probably a good reason of why I started to get into anime, because I, you know, didn't have a lot of other options when it came to watching TV. There's this game called Taiko no Tatsujin, and it's a drum simulator. Like, you got like a big Koda drum head in front of you and two little sticks, and you beat to the rhythm of a popular song or like a traditional song or, you know, some Japanese pop song, some K-pop or whatever. And I only knew a couple of characters, by which I mean the actual like Japanese characters, not anime characters, but I could only recognize a couple of them. And one of the ones that I knew because of this nerdishness is anime. And so I found the anime songs folder on that. And some of those songs are really fucking fun to play on that shit. And it's a good time and it gets stuck in my head. Shout out to Aoi Nosara from Naruto Shippuden. That's probably my favorite anime theme song. But then High School of the Dead also has a really cool one too. I'm going to stop there because I'm just going to go into a deeper weeb hole than I'm probably willing to go. And then I'll get stuff from the super anime nerds like, you're just a fucking poser talking about the Netflix anime and blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say, once you drop Death Note, that's going to upset a lot of people. You're not a real fan if you like. And I think Death Note is great. So.
Yeah, it took me a while to actually watch it. But once I did, I think I marathoned it in a day. It was a good series. But
it's up there. I think Evangelion is the best anime ever done. Great storytelling, great art, just good stuff. But a little too popular, I guess. So I'm not a real anime fan.
Oh yeah, would you like fucking Akira, bro? You see fucking wanker. anyway, let's move on to our weekly picks, where we talk about the games we're playing, the movies and TV we're watching, and the books that we are reading. Nate, since you didn't get a chance to defend your poor taste and you kind of seemed a little upset about that, why don't we start with you? What you reading? What you watching? What you playing?
Okay, I'm reading God's Country. It's a graphic novel that was released by Image. So I'm reading that. I'm going to finish it tonight or tomorrow. I've only read like 10 pages of it, but just the art and the setting, everything. It's a really down-to-earth story with magic in it. No, it's really good. Watching, you know, there's really not much on right now, but I know Westworld is going to be on in a couple of weeks. Movie wise, I mean, I think like pretty much everybody, I'm hyped for Avengers. Video games, I don't know if this is weird or not, but I was never a big Dark Souls fan, and I have PlayStation Plus, and this last March, one of the free games was Bloodborne. I've never, ever played it, and I guess I might be one of the few people who have PlayStation Plus. I might be the only person who's never played it, but I'm going to give it a try and see what all the hype is about. Otherwise, that's real. WrestleMania, just watched a cool New Japan show. That's it. I'm a big loser. Nothing going on.
I mean, that was enough. I feel like there was stuff there worth talking about. For me, let's see. I haven't really picked up a new game, but I started playing Broforce again this weekend. I forgot how much stupid fun that game can be. And I'm much better this go around, so I'm able to beat like the lone bro missions. I'm a big fan of that one. Dave, if you haven't played Broforce, you absolutely would dig it. It's a pixelated version of like a side-scrolling shoot 'em up, but every character is the hero or in some cases villain of an 80s action movie with their name changed to Bro. So like they got like Bronan the Barbarian as a character and Rambro and like Ellen Ripped Bro, which is Ellen Ripley, and each character has their own strengths and weaknesses, and like it's a super fun game. It's co-op. You can play online or couch co-op for up to four players. You can download it. It's probably dirt cheap at this point because it's a couple years old. Broforce.
Oh, is it non-like phone or Steam or?
Oh yeah, you can find it on Steam. You can probably find it. You're on Xbox. You can probably find it on Xbox Live. Yeah, it's not like a rare game. You should be able to find it. Reading, still hicking my way through Spider-Man one more day. It is a long friggin' trade. And man, they redesigned the Vulture in this book, and this new Vulture looks like shit. It's basically Chamber from the X-Men, but he's red, and instead of having a psychic fire mouth, it's just a stupid fucking like beak, and it looks like shit. And it's not, he's not an interesting character. Reading that, then watching, I mentioned this in the pre-tape, and I don't remember if it was before or after or during Dick Talk, so we'll see if it makes the pre-show cut. But I've been watching The Good Place lately, and genuinely, like, happily surprised at how much I've enjoyed it. It's, you know, just silly, kind of fun, and it's one of those shows, much like, I guess Modern Family falls into this category too, where it's relatively like a clean show, and it seems like something that my parents could get into, and yet they don't watch it, and instead they watch like The Big Bang Theory, and I'm like, Mom, come on, watch this instead. That's what I'm seeing, watching, doing, playing, all that sort of stuff. Dave, what about you? What you seeing, what you watching, what you playing?
It's been a busy week for me because I'm preparing to go to AwesomeCon this weekend. So that's in D.C. at the Convention Center. So I'll be out there. I'll have a pass. It'll say AIPT and then my name on it. So if you see me, come up, say hello. We can talk about bacon and ketchup and how I'm right and the rest of the world is wrong.
I'm going to make you a t-shirt with a piece of bacon stipping in ketchup, and you can just walk around and say, and just have a sign that's under it that says, prove me wrong.
There you go. So I'm just trying to catch up on all the articles I have to get done before I leave Friday morning. So I haven't read much. I haven't played much. I have been watching just because I have the TV in the background while I have the laptop in front of me. And before the show tonight, Roseanne came back on and we talked about it briefly, so I watched, they played two episodes back to back, and I'm sorry, but I enjoyed it. It was just like the old show, and I enjoyed the old show because, you know, the Connors were like this white trash family, you know, they never made excuses for who they were, they said what they wanted, and it just the same formula tonight, and it worked. And I need to go, I'm anxious to go look online, see if, you know, if they piss anybody off, because it pretty much came out that Roseanne and I guess Dan voted for Trump, where her sister Jackie, you know, opposed Trump. So they have, like, you know, their political jabs in the show, and then Darlene, the Sarah Gilbert's character, she has two kids, and one of them's a 9-year-old boy who dresses like a girl. So then you have Dan trying to make the boy want to be more like a boy because he's afraid he's going to get beat up in school. So it's interesting how they're taking, you know, today's issues and they're putting in on this old show. But it was good. I'm going to definitely watch it next week again. As far as movies, I haven't seen anything new. Like I said, I've been watching Aliens all week again. Last week I watched, you know, Alien 3. This morning before I went to work, had Aliens going on, so nothing new. Next week I'll have newer stuff once everything settles down.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching Aliens. They're all on HBO, so I've been watching them every so often. But I have yet to watch Alien Covfefe. I'm going to. You can't tell me not to watch a Danny McBride movie.
Garbage.
We'll see. I'm probably going to end up agreeing with you because I don't know that I've read a positive review of it. but I haven't read a terribly negative one. Not one as negative as yours, certainly. And I got to be honest, sometimes when you get particularly down on something, I feel like maybe there's something there that I'm not seeing. Like The Thing, I'm not 100% sure why you hate The Thing so much. I accept it. I just don't know that I feel that strongly about The Thing one way either way. But hey, you know,
big fucking rock. Eat shit. Fuck off.
I was trying to figure out which thing. I was like, John Carpenter's Thing, the remake of The Thing, Fantastic Four.
First of all, I love John Carpenter's The Thing. I haven't seen the remake, but I hear it's bad. I guess John Carpenter's Thing is the remake of The Thing too. So,
well, that's actually true, right?
And then there's the prequel Thing.
It's okay. It is what it is.
I mean, I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. If it's on HBO or Netflix, I might give it a shot. But nowadays, now that it's late, now that we're well past our prime and we're starting to talk nonsense and talk about Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is bae, if the kids still say that, I think that's about time to call it quits, call it a wrap, to seal this thing up and say thank you to our listeners. If you've made it this far into the AIPT Comics Podcast, Adventures in Podtaste, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts and hope that you'll join us again. I want to say hi, Julia, because you're the only one I know who listens to this every week. We'll give shout-outs to whoever else if you just ask for them, because we're not proud people. We want you to listen, especially if you're going to listen all the way through. I want to thank my charming co-host, Dave. I'm going to use different adjectives this time. My charming co-host, Dave Hildebrand. Dave, where can our listeners find you / hear you / reach out and touch you and tell you about their bacon proclivities?
You can find me on Twitter at Psychotic, and that's SYCOTIC.
You can also find him at AwesomeCon in DC this weekend.
Yes, yeah, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, and I'm not going to hang around Sunday, I don't think. So
he'll be the guy in the Oakley sunglasses. You can come up and.
A big possibility. That's true.
So come out, find him, tell him about the show, tell him why we suck, tell him that I say too much. Also want to thank Nate, Nathaniel, Patrick Nathaniel Muir. I don't remember what your wife's last name is, but I know you took it. Thank you for coming on to our show. Where can our listeners read you, find you, talk to you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Paticus Finch. I'm actually going to be at El Paso Comic-Con on April 13th, 14th, and 15th. Tomorrow I'll be watching Ready Player One, so I'm going to have a review up for that. If anybody's heard of The Death of Stalin, it's the funniest movie of this year.
Yeah, I've seen good reviews.
It's really good. It's slightly better than Black Panther, I would say, but they're really close. But I hope to have a review up for that at the end of the week. You can find me on Facebook. It's Patrick Muir Chavez. And I will be trying to regularly write for AIPT. I got a toy article for Dave. Finally, I sent it in.
Yes. I got to look at that tonight. Looking forward to it.
All right. And I'm Jason. You can find me online at Felix Lancaster on Twitter and Instagram. I will be at Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo C2E2 from April 6th to April 8th. I'll be wearing a bright blue AIPT shirt. I'll probably also have a camera equipment, so you might not be able to see it because it might be over my shirt. But I don't know. Find me. Tell me I say too much. Tell me about David's bacon issue. And yeah, tell me what you want to hear us talk about here on Adventures in Podtaste. So for all of us who have anything to do with the website, and especially those of us who are currently talking, I want to say thank you and good night. We'll catch you next time.
Good night, Japan.
Thank you.